beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media, at Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms. He's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution. True emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic three-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment so the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show. You are tuning into a show that it's about the most important thing that we could make happen, not only for the millions of people in this country, but for the billions all over the world. This is a show about making a real revolution that overthrows the entire system of capitalism, imperialism that rules over and causes such destruction to the people and the planet today. And this is a show about replacing this system with a radically new system, a revolutionary socialist system on the road to real emancipation here and all over the world. So I'm really happy to be with you today. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm joined in the studio by Annie Day.
Very glad to be with you, Sansara. On this show, we base ourselves on and we follow the revolutionary leadership of Bob Avakian, BA. BA is unlike all this endless stream of bourgeois politicians and leaders out there that are trying to maintain the system or try to get you to go back inside of the killing confines of this system. Instead of that, he is about an actual overthrow, recognizing scientifically that this system cannot be reformed, but that it needs to be gotten rid of through an all-out revolution. And he spent 60 years digging very deeply into how that revolution could be made, and has brought forward a framework for human emancipation in the new communism. If you want to see a better world, this is somebody who you need to get to know. And you're going to have a chance to do that in today's show.
All right. So today we have two big themes to our show. There are two big questions that really need to be ripped open in society. They're big questions that Bob Avakian addresses straight up in the social media dispatches that he's been putting out, especially number 1 through 11, which we'll talk more about as we go, at Bob Avakian Official. This is how BA poses these two big things right up front in his first social media dispatch.
If you don't understand why we need a revolution and how that revolution could be possible, then you don't know what you need to know.
That's right. If you don't understand why we need a revolution and how that revolution is possible, then you don't know what you need to know. That's how Bob Avakian begins. It sets the stage for his first 11 social media messages. And in this first one, he goes on to make clear that he is not talking about some so-called revolution that leaves the system of capitalism imperialism in power, crushing lives and killing spirits on a mass scale. He's not talking about just changing the faces of the oppressors who are ruling this people-killing, environment-destroying, nuclear war-threatening system that poses a growing danger to the very existence of humanity everywhere. And he is not talking about what goes on now, where some people get ahead and a few get big bank and become part of the business of exploiting people, while masses of people are still held down, exploited, abused, and despised. No, as Bob Avakian makes clear,
I'm talking about a real revolution, a revolution to actually overthrow this system we are now forced to live under and bring something much better into being. A whole different way to live and to relate to each other. A completely different system. Working to meet the fundamental needs of the masses of people and to serve their highest interests in putting an end to all oppression and exploitation everywhere in the world. A revolution and a radically new society that really is liberating and uplifting. And I'm talking about a real revolution in this time, not in some far-off, distant time.
So as I said, these are the two themes of today's show. Why we need a revolution and nothing less, and how this revolution is possible, how it could be made. And like Bob Avakian just mentioned, not in some far-off time, but in this time, this current period through which we're now living, a time of major radical change, a turning point in human history and in U.S. society, a time of great crisis going to a very dangerous place, but out of which a radical and emancipating future could be wrenched. The more that people understand these questions that Bob Avakian is breaking down, the more they're going to understand that we don't have to continue to live the way we're forced to live, and that there's a huge role that you and others need to play in this period in making this revolution a reality. Again, not in some far-off time, but in this period in which we are living now. So we'll get more into the two questions he mentioned as we go through today's show.
Yeah, and everybody, if you're watching, follow at Bob Avakian Official on all social media platforms and download these posters and spread them. Really contending right now with this understanding is one of the most urgent things that we face in terms of actually shaking awake millions and bringing forward a force of thousands that are serious about seizing on the opening that you're talking about, Sansara.
Okay, so to run down today's show, we're going to start with an excerpt from a 2018 speech from Bob Avakian, getting into why this system really cannot be reformed, why it must be overthrown. And he's in the excerpt we pick, he's going to zero in particularly on the wars for empire, the armies of occupation, and the crimes against humanity that are built into the system of capitalism, imperialism. And in that light, we're going to look at the crisis unfolding in Haiti and the genocide in Gaza.
both of which have the U.S.'s bloody handprints all over them. Then we are going to look at this question of how revolution could really be made by going to Bob Avakian's social media and sharing an excerpt from the talk and the Q&A that I gave recently at UCLA where these questions came up.
So let's dive in. This is Bob Avakian from 2018 in his talk, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution. Let's watch.
Why are Black people, Latinos, and Native Americans subjected to genocidal persecution, mass incarceration, police brutality, and murder? Why is there the patriarchal degradation, dehumanization, and subjugation of all women everywhere, and oppression based on gender or sexual orientation? Why are there wars of empire, armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity? Why is there the demonization, criminalization, and deportations of immigrants and the militarization of the border? Why is the environment of our planet being destroyed? These are what we call the five stops, deep and defining contradictions of this system. With all the destruction and suffering they cause, which must be protested and resisted in a powerful way, with a real determination to stop them, but which can only be finally ended by putting an end to this system itself. Why, along with all this, do we live in a world where large parts of humanity live in stark poverty, with 2.3 billion people lacking even rudimentary toilets or latrines, and huge numbers suffering from preventable diseases, with millions of children dying every year from these diseases and from starvation, while 150 million children in the world are forced to engage in ruthlessly exploited child labor? And the whole world economy rests on a vast network of sweatshops, employing large numbers of women who are regularly subjected to sexual harassment and assault. A world where 65 million refugees have been displaced by war, poverty, persecution, and the effects of global warming. Why is this the state of humanity? There is one fundamental reason. The basic nature of the system of capitalism, imperialism that we live under, and the way, because of its very nature, it continually perpetrates and perpetuates horror after horror. And in fundamental terms, we have two choices. Either live with all this and condemn future generations to the same or worse, if they have a future at all, or make revolution. But what is the scientific basis for saying that this system is the source of all this? That it is built into this system, and therefore it is impossible to do away with these outrages through reforming the system, and instead it must be overthrown. Let's go back to those five stops.
At this point in the speech, B.A. goes deeply into each of those five stops that he mentioned and gets into how and why they're rooted in this system of capitalism and imperialism. We're going to play today just one of those five stops where he talks about the wars for empire and armies of occupation.
Wars of empire, armies of occupation, and crimes against humanity. Raiding and other forms of violent conflict between different peoples can be found going back to early societies long ago. But the emergence of class-divided societies and civilizations based on conquest, slavery, and other forms of exploitation and oppression has for millennia led to wars that have caused death and destruction on a massive scale. This has been especially so once the production and exchange of commodities, things produced for exchange, rather than for direct use by those who produce them,
developed on a large scale, and means of transport were developed that enabled commodities to be exchanged and markets for exchange to be actively sought over a large and increasingly expanding territory. Wars were then fought to conquer markets and trade routes, as well as sources of raw materials, and to enslave and exploit conquered peoples. With the development of capitalism over the past several centuries, commodity production and exchange has been greatly extended to become the generalized way in which production and exchange has been carried out. If you think about it, all the things that you use, or almost all of them, you do not make them yourself. You exchange something, namely money, to buy them from some other source. And this is what people all over the world are now doing. This is what capitalism has generalized. And capitalism has more and more tightly bound things together under its domination into an overall world system. But this system of capitalist imperialism is marked by profound divisions between different classes and groups of people within each country, between a small number of capitalist imperialist countries and the countries under the domination of these imperialists, particularly in the Third World, that is Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, and divisions between imperialist countries themselves, whose rivalry has revolved to a significant degree around their contention for control of colonies and people to exploit in the Third World. And when, for a time in the last century, there were socialist countries, first in the Soviet Union and then also in China, there was a conflict between the imperialist powers and those socialist countries, which the imperialists worked to isolate, suffocate, and destroy. All this led to two world wars in the last century, in which tens of millions of people were killed, including huge numbers of civilians. Since the end of World War II in 1945, the divisions that marked the world within the overall framework of domination by the capitalist imperialist system have led to continual wars. Wars where imperialist powers have unleashed massive violence against people fighting for liberation from imperialism in countries of the Third World, such as the war in Vietnam, where the U.S. slaughtered several million Vietnamese and poisoned much of the soil of that country with chemical weapons. War crimes and crimes against humanity that the U.S. imperialists have continued in all parts of the world, including today, for example, in the Middle Eastern country of Yemen, where because of bombing and other actions by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, backed, armed, and aided by the U.S., 1 million people, including large numbers of children, are suffering and many are dying from the terrible disease cholera. And 8 million people, more than a fourth of the population, are facing starvation. And there are wars between different oppressive forces, including wars where imperialist powers fight each other not directly, but through proxies, such as the war which has devastated Syria over the past several years, where the U.S. and Russia have backed, armed, and aided different factions. While another world war, which especially with the arsenals of nuclear weapons in the hands of the U.S. and Russia, China, and some other countries, could lead to destruction and death on a massive scale, and could even bring about the extinction of the human race, while this has so far been avoided, so long as the capitalist imperialist system continues to dominate the world, and the profound divisions this embodies and enforces continue to exist, the danger remains of a far more devastating war than anything previously endured by humanity. Only through the overthrow of this system, including in its greatest centers of power in the imperialist countries themselves, and overthrow carried out also with the aim of preventing these imperialists from launching an all-out war of annihilation. Only in this way can we advance toward the goal of overcoming the divisions among human beings that embody exploitation and oppression and lead to violent conflict, and finally make a reality of the dreams and aspirations of so many for a world without war.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
That was Bob Avakian from his speech, Why We Need an Actual Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution. And since he gave that talk back in 2018, the situation in the world has become even more dangerous, owing to the criminal nature of this system of capitalism imperialism that he is talking about. The U.S. is now engaged in a proxy war, that is an indirect war against Russia, being fought out in Ukraine and using Ukrainians as cannon fodder. This war carries the very real and growing threat of breaking out into open, direct war between the U.S. and Russia, both of them gangster imperialists armed to the teeth with enough nuclear weapons to destroy human civilization. We also face the growing danger of a war breaking out between the U.S. and China, also a nuclear-armed power. And then, as we'll speak to in a minute, there is the genocide that Israel is carrying out against the people of Gaza, fully armed and backed by the United States. And the devastating human cost of this system of capitalism imperialism is bursting out in the intensifying nightmare that is consuming the people of Haiti right now. In recent weeks, Haiti's 12 million people have been plunged into a devastating crisis. Heavily armed gangs and militias have taken over Port-au-Prince, the capital city. This is where about one quarter of Haiti's population lives, huge numbers of them in desperately poor slums. Because of the violence of the gangs that have taken over, an estimated 350,000 people have been forced to flee their homes. Many others are huddled at home, afraid to go out. And meanwhile, a million are threatened with starvation. This is because nearly half of Haiti's food is imported, but the gangs have forced the main airport and seaport to close. They've choked off the food supply. Major roads are blocked, cutting off trucks bringing food, fuel, and water to the city. And on top of all of this, the healthcare system is on the brink of collapse. Now, the U.S. and its military generals are talking about how they want to help. Rafael Cadaris breaks down why this is utter bullshit that no one should fall for.
Haiti is in a state of crisis right now. Armed paramilitary groups have seized control of the ports, major roads, and forced the resignation of reactionary U.S.-backed President Ariel Henry. None of these armed groups represent the interests of the Haitian people. And it is the Haitian people who are suffering even more right now, with food, water, health systems on the verge of collapse. But don't worry, the U.S. is here to help. Listen to Secretary of State Antony Blinken right after he pledged another $100 million to send armed forces into Haiti.
All of us know that only the Haitian people can, only the Haitian people should determine their own future, not anyone else. But all of us here, CARICOM, the United States, our other partners, we can help.
Only the Haitian people should determine their future? Man, blood-sucking imperialists like you have never allowed the Haitian people to determine their future. And let's look at what kind of help the U.S. and before that the French have provided to the Haitian people, which might have something to do with why Haiti's in the situation it's in. Let's start from the beginning. Did you know Haiti was the most profitable colony in the entire world? How do you think the French did that? By working Haitian slaves literally to death. You know what the average life expectancy of enslaved Haitians on sugar plantations was? 7 years. After the heroic Haitian Revolution defeated the French and abolished slavery, did France and the United States allow the Haitian people to develop their new society in peace? No. The French Navy put a total economic embargo on the entire island of Haiti, and the United States was fully on board with this. And then get this. France literally made the Haitian people pay back debt for decades. Debt as compensation for lost property. i.e. the slaves themselves. Then the U.S. imperialists moved in directly. The U.S. military invaded and occupied Haiti from 1915 to 1934, killing over 15,000 Haitians. Then the U.S. backed the brutal regimes of Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier, who slaughtered over 50,000 Haitian people. U.S. economic domination of Haiti ruined the agriculture system there, forcing Haitians to work for pennies an hour in U.S.-owned factories. When the popular leftist leader Jean-Bertrand Aristide came to power in 1991, the U.S. took him out within 9 months in a CIA-sponsored coup. When Aristide came back to power, the United States took him out again in 2004 in another coup.
The United States, our other partners, we can help. We can help. We can help.
So shut the f*** up about helping the Haitian people. U.S. help is why Haitians are going through hell right now.
And we all know that urgent action is needed on both the political and security tracks to help move things in a better direction, to help do right by the people of Haiti.
Yes, Blinken, urgent action is needed to do right by the Haitian people. By sweeping the empire you represent off the face of the earth, overthrowing the whole capitalist imperialist system, and building a whole new world. From Haiti to Gaza to the imperialist USA, the world is crying out urgently for revolution. Yes, a real revolution based on the new communism developed by Bob Avakian, to put an end to all forms of oppression and exploitation based on class, race, sex, gender, all relations in which one part of humanity dominates another. So to everyone who can't stand the world the way it is, everyone who's tired of so many people being treated as less than human, everyone who has the heart to fight for something really worth fighting for, you need to be part of this revolution. Join the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity.
Yes, if you feel what Raphael is talking about, answer the call he put out. Join the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity. Become part of the fighters for a revolution that overthrows this whole system of capitalism, imperialism that has wreaked so much damage to Haiti over generations, as Raphael makes clear. And go to our website, revcom.us, where we're covering this crisis in Haiti, its source, and the fundamental solution in greater depth. Read the piece we published this week called "The Crisis in Haiti Cries Out for Real Revolution. Sweep Away the Domination of the U.S. Imperialist System and Its Haitian Enablers." This piece breaks down why the Haitian people do not need another foreign occupation. It also breaks down why they do not need so-called free elections either. As long as these so-called free elections take place under the domination of this system of imperialism, the interests of the Haitian people can never be truly expressed or acted upon. Much deeper, much more radical transformation is required. A real revolution guided by the new communism that Bob Avakian has forged. A revolution that breaks out of the grip of imperialist domination. Only in this way can the Haitian people themselves, in their masses, be empowered, unleashed and led to repair and rebuild Haiti based on the real needs of the people in Haiti and the needs of the people around the world. So again, we'll be going into this more deeply at revcom.us. Here, we want to stress what is said at the start of this article I just cited. Quote, "There is an urgent need for the new communism to be taken up broadly in this society and in the world as a whole. Everywhere people are questioning why things are the way they are and whether a different world is possible. Everywhere people are talking about revolution but have no real understanding of what revolution means, no scientific approach to analyzing and dealing with what they are up against and what needs to be done. Everywhere people are rising up in rebellion but are hemmed in, let down, and left to the mercy of murderous oppressors, or misled onto paths which only reinforce, often with barbaric brutality, the enslaving chains of tradition. Everywhere, people need a way out of their desperate conditions, but do not see the source of their suffering and the path forward out of the darkness." End quote. In all of these places, all over the world, people need to know about the new communism Bob Avakian has forged, the revolutionary way out. And this is particularly urgent right now, for the people of Haiti, as it is for the people of Gaza. The Palestinian people trapped in Gaza are right now facing starvation, disease, dehydration, and lack of medical supplies when they fall sick or have limbs blown off by the U.S. bombs that Israel is dropping on their homes, their schools, their refugee camps. But this is not only a devastating crisis. It is a completely unnecessary man-made crisis. Aid trucks are lined up just across the border, and Israel is preventing them from entering to bring the food and water and medicine and other supplies necessary for life. Israel is bombing the roads and the distribution centers necessary to get the small trickle of aid that does enter to the starving people who need it. And Israel has now repeatedly opened fire on people when they line up to get the aid when it finally reaches where they live. Yes, Israel is shooting down and massacring the very people it is knowingly and intentionally starving to death. And the U.S. is backing it all. The U.S. has approved more than 100 shipments of weapons and bombs and other military equipment to Israel just in the months since Israel launched this genocidal attack. Those bombs being dropped on refugee camps and food distribution centers, those bullets being fired on starving people, they were made in the USA. And now, Israel is preparing a full-on assault against Rafah, a city in southern Gaza. Rafah was once a city that was crowded when it had 200,000 people. But now, after people have been driven from their homes in the north and elsewhere, 1.5 million people are packed into Rafah, many of them crowded into flimsy tents. Already, Israel has pounded the ground around them with bombs, repeated nights filled with terror and death. Now, Israel is preparing a full-on invasion of this city. Now, Biden has made a show of objecting to the even greater number of civilian deaths this will cause, and he has scolded Israel and its leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. But Biden has not stopped supplying the bombs and the bullets. And in reality, all he did is send a team to Israel to counsel them on how to carry out this invasion. It didn't pull its support for them. Now, many think this is because the Israel lobby has too much power in this country, that this is what is driving Biden and the U.S. to back Israel in this way. This is wrong, and it is a dangerous illusion that lets the real problem, this system of capitalism imperialism, off the hook. To get into this further, we want to go now to Annie Day.
For over 5 months, we've watched genocidal carnage against the Palestinian people in Gaza. Almost 32,000 people killed, more than 13,000 of them children, and many more uncounted under the rubble while the numbers keep rising. This mass death and destruction is being carried out by Israel, but the 2,000-pound bombs, the guns, and the support are all provided by the U.S. And on top of the bombings, the families obliterated, and the children orphaned, Israel is now starving the entire population of Gaza. And this has been fully backed by the entire ruling class of the U.S., both the Republicans and the Democrats. And while Biden has raised some criticism of Israel, he has put zero restrictions on the endless flow of weapons, cash, and diplomatic cover to continue this genocidal nightmare. In response to this, groups like If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace have been among those who've courageously disrupted business as usual to demand, not in my name, to demand a ceasefire. This has been righteous, and much more of this is needed. But now they've joined a coalition of groups in a new campaign that's focused on rejecting AIPAC. AIPAC is a pro-Israel lobby group that pours money into pro-Israel candidates and attacks candidates who are even slightly critical of Israel. The organizers say that AIPAC is what's driving Democratic Party support for Israel, and they're pleading with Democratic Party politicians to sign a pledge that they won't take money from AIPAC. Look, this campaign is a disastrous dead end. The U.S.'s unconditional support for Israel is not caused by AIPAC. This support has been driven by the needs of U.S. capitalism imperialism, a system where the U.S. is in cutthroat competition with other rival powers to maintain its global top dog domination. And maintaining global top dog domination requires control of the strategic region of the Middle East, its resources, people, and trade routes. This is why the U.S. has propped up the military and economic might of Israel, because Israel is a military bastion for the U.S. in the region. And Israel's also played a major role in the military training and execution of war crimes in other parts of the world, from Guatemala to South Africa, which has helped maintain the rule of U.S. imperialism. The revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, breaks all this down in a recent series of social media dispatches. The fact is that the U.S.'s strategic decision to go all in with Israel, it predated AIPAC. Look it up. AIPAC did not gain the power it has because it has particularly effective lobbyists and a big budget. It is effective because its mission aligns with the interests of U.S. empire. The organization, If Not Now, wrote that, quote, AIPAC and its GOP mega donors have no place in our party, spending millions in Democratic primaries and lobbying against Palestinian lives, end quote. Really? Our party? Was it your party when Democratic President Truman rushed to be the first world leader to officially recognize Israel as a legitimate state in 1948, when Israel was in the middle of forcing at least 750,000 Palestinians from their land to found the state of Israel? Was it your party when Obama fully backed Israel in 2014 when they attacked Gaza, killing over 2,000 civilians, including hundreds of children? And for that matter, was the Democratic Party your party when Truman dropped nuclear bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when they waged war in Vietnam, killing more than 3 million people? Was it your party when they orchestrated coups and invasions from Iran to Haiti to El Salvador? No. The Democratic Party is a ruling class party. A ruling class of a system of capitalism imperialism. A system that rests on the exploitation and oppression of billions of people, including more than 150 million children around the world, slaving in sweatshops, mines, and farmlands to serve the needs of American empire. And maintaining this empire requires terror, torture, wars, and military bases that surround the globe. To If Not Now, to Jewish Voice for Peace, and all the other groups that have signed this Reject AIPAC campaign, do you really want to claim the Democratic Party as your party? This will take you in a bad direction. As Bob Avakian has said, if you try to make the Democrats be what they are not and never will be, you will end up being more like what the Democrats actually are. This campaign to reject AIPAC will objectively lead people to work to rescue the Democratic Party and let this blood-soaked system that it's enforcing off the hook, right at the very moment when the actual nature of the Democratic Party as a party of vicious war crimes is being laid bare. While millions have come correctly to see Genocide Joe as profoundly illegitimate, and at the very moment when this whole system is being ripped apart. Look, a major role of the Democratic Party is to corral, contain, and domesticate your dissent. The Democratic Party is where meaningful movements go to die. Don't be roped into this. The dead end of Reject AIPAC must itself be rejected. And instead, here are the two things that are actually and urgently needed now. One, the powerful protest movement needs to grow more determined, broader, and uncompromising, staying in the streets with the aim of stopping business as usual in every corner of society until the U.S.-backed Israeli genocidal slaughter of Palestinians stops. And two, you need to get a scientific understanding of why this is happening, what we're up against, and what it will take to defeat it. To all the brave people in If Not Now, Jewish Voice for Peace, and all the groups that have signed on to this Reject AIPAC campaign, think deeply about what I'm saying. You've had the courage to put your body on the line to say this genocide must stop, and that matters. Now have the intellectual courage to look deeply into why this is happening and what it will really take to stop it. So a challenge. Listen to Bob Avakian's social media dispatches that dig seriously and scientifically into why Biden and basically the entire government and ruling class of this country is supporting Israel in carrying out this genocide of the Palestinian people before the whole world. Why nothing short of a real revolution is what's needed, and how that revolution is possible in this time. And then be part of acting on those truths.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
So far in today's show, we've gone into why this system cannot be reformed, why it really must be overthrown. We've done this principally by going into this system's drives towards wars and occupations. Now, if you watch the full speech from Bob Avakian, why we need an actual revolution and how we can really make revolution, you'll hear him take apart why white supremacy and police terror are also built into this system. He'll dig into how patriarchal oppression and degradation of women and all oppression based on gender and sexual orientation is built into this system. He brings alive how the demonization and the deportation of immigrants is built into this system as well. And he breaks down how the destruction of the environment is built into this system. And he brings alive not only that revolution is necessary, but how it is actually possible. So we urge you to go and watch the speech in full, which you can find on our channel. Now, we want to turn to the question of, is this revolution really possible? And not just in general or in some far off time, but right in this time. This is something that Bob Avakian brings alive in his recent social media dispatches. Now, not long ago, I gave a talk at UCLA called Actually, Revolution is Possible. And if this revolution is not made soon, humanity is thoroughly f***ed. And I drew in my speech heavily from Bob Avakian's social media dispatch number 11 to bring this alive for the students and others who are gathered. And a question about this became an important part of the Q&A that followed. So for the rest of today's show, we want to share with you the opening of that social media dispatch from Bob Avakian, and then me reading the rest of it in my speech at UCLA, followed by the question and answer that highlights this question.
Bob Avakian, Revolution, number 11. I'm back to talk more about revolution, how in the situation that is now rapidly intensifying, a revolution involving millions of people could actually succeed. In my last message, number 10, I spoke to the basic approach and some basic principles to guide revolutionary fighting forces in taking on and defeating the powerful armed forces of repression of this system, as the conditions that make this possible are brought into being. And I called attention to the fact that at revcom.us, there is the very important statement, revolution, building up the basis to go for the whole thing with a real chance to win, strategic orientation and practical approach, and a five-part series, Revolution, a Real Chance to Win, where I go more extensively and in depth into the strategic approach that could make it possible for this revolution to actually win. Here, I am going to get further into the relation between the overall developing situation and the possibility for a revolution to have a real chance to win. In this country right now, there is a deepening crisis and bitter, profound divisions among the powers that be. A big part of the population and a major section of the ruling class, represented by the Republican Party, has become fascist, based on open and aggressive white supremacy, male supremacy, and other oppressive relations, refusing to accept the outcome of elections it does not win, determined to gut and pervert the rule of law, trample on people's rights, and adopt what amounts to an undisguised capitalist dictatorship, ready to use violence not only against masses of people, but also against its rivals in the ruling class. This fascist section of the ruling class no longer believes in and has more or less openly abandoned what have been the cohering norms, the regulating set of beliefs and processes of this system. The other section of the ruling class, represented by the Democratic Party, is trying to maintain the democratic form through which this system exercises political power and actual dictatorship over the masses of people in this country, in order to maintain its system of brutal exploitation and murderous oppression backed up by mass slaughter, which this ruling class continues to carry out all over the world. The presidential election this year, 2024, will be a sharp focus of the fight between these ruling class parties, Democrats and Republicans, a fight that is very likely to break all out of the bounds of the normal way they exercise power over the people and keep their whole system going. This could lead to armed clashes between the opposing sections of the ruling class, which could even develop into large-scale military confrontation, a new kind of civil war. In any case, this kind of profound crisis within the ruling system is bound to affect every part of society and every major institution of this system, including its armed forces, with the real potential for major splits in those institutions. The fascists in this country as a whole are not as great in numbers as those who are opposed to the fascists. But these fascists are driven by an irrational fanaticism, fueled by the notion that this country will not be worth living in if they do not take extreme measures to reverse the way things are going. They also have a lot of initiative because a major section of the ruling class is made up of fascists who dominate very important institutions, including the Supreme Court. And they are also willing to act outside of the normal procedures of this system and mobilize violent fanatics to achieve their goals. At the same time, among the majority of people who are opposed to this fascism, too many are still going along with the way things have always been, clinging to the hope that somehow things will work out as they always have, while many are also weighed down by the belief that nothing can be done to change the very negative direction of things. The Democratic Party is deathly afraid of mobilizing masses of people in the way that would be necessary to decisively defeat the fascists, because the Democrats fear that this could lead to things getting all out of control, threatening their whole system. This is where the forces for revolution come in.
This is where the forces for revolution come in, bringing out sharply the reality of what is happening and why, and bringing alive the positive vision and the positive solution to all of this, a real revolution, acting urgently and decisively to change the whole alignment, the whole polarization in society, rapidly repolarizing things in a way that is increasingly favorable for revolution, and winning masses of people from every part of society to break with this whole system and come over to the side of the revolution. So here BA is talking about what we who are fighting for this revolution and you who are just learning about and joining this revolution need to get busy doing now, and how this can then play out as the crisis intensifies. He goes on, The forces for revolution must come to the fore in the fight against the fascists, and do so not with the aim of preserving or restoring the democratic form of this murderously oppressive system of capitalism and imperialism, but with the strategic goal of bringing this system down and bringing something much better into being. As the fight is carried forward to defeat the forces seeking to preserve or restore the blood-soaked system in one form or another, it would become possible to win over even greater numbers from different parts of society to join this revolution, including many who had been part of the armed forces themselves and other key institutions of this system. An important factor to consider in all this is the contradiction that among the ranks of this system's armed forces are large numbers of people who have been drawn from among Black people, Latinos, women, and other oppressed people, while their oppression is built into the very system of capitalism and imperialism that they are supposed to fight for. This is a contradiction that is an important part of the basis to win over to the revolution many who start out as part of this system's armed forces, as things develop and as attempts to crush the revolution are defeated, leading to a dynamic that is increasingly favorable to the revolution. All this will make for an extremely complicated situation, but one which holds not just the possibility of things becoming even more terrible than normal life under this system, but also the potential to wrench something profoundly positive out of all of this, an actual emancipating revolution, if the revolutionaries and rapidly growing numbers of people organized into the ranks of the revolution firmly grasp this possibility and act boldly with scientifically grounded determination to seize this rare situation.
Yeah, so something I've always been fearful of is the synergistic connection between the far right and activism towards possession of arms. So when you're discussing a civil war and you're discussing a revolution and there being two sides and there being a division, it's concerning to think that the other side is infinitely better armed and more experienced with high quality military weapons than our side might be. So I'm curious to the extent which, given that you've admitted and understand that a civil war and violent conflict is very, very possibly a part of all of this, to what extent are the RevComs preparing and what does that look like? And then kind of on top of that, since I assume that you are preparing to some extent, what are you waiting for? You know what I mean? Are you waiting for this election? Because this election is going to draw such a harsh line and people, whether or not they accept it, will define whether or not we dive into civil war. Why not make a move now? Is there a number of people that you need? Is there a number of guns that you need? Like what does it actually look like? Is there a pathway by which the RevComs make a first move and actually start this? Like what does it really look like?
Well, a revolution is an act of millions. And it's really important because people have, and in the 60s, people who were righteously outraged by what was happening in Vietnam, for example, or to Black people in this country, they went off and did different individual acts of you know, frustration, basically. Small acts that were, you know, guerrilla warfare or excitative things of different kinds. This is not what we're talking about. It actually, in a country that's as powerful as this, with as much of a unified military might and stable political domination over the minds of most of its population most of the time, that's only going to isolate and destroy those who try to do it, and it's going to demoralize and disorient masses of people. It will not work. So revolution can only be made in a very rare circumstance. It's three main things. One is a crisis among the rulers so deep that they cannot hold it together in the ways they normally do and in the ways that the population is conditioned to accept. So when that breaks down, you have a chance to break the hold and the allegiance of millions to this system. And you have a chance for the institutions themselves and even the military to be split apart, not right away at the beginning, but as this develops. Two, you need millions and millions of people whose desire for radical fundamental change is greater than their fear of the repression that will come down on them, who are demanding a different world and ready to fight for it. And we've seen this at different times, not a revolutionary people, but dimensions of this. You saw some of the potential for this in 2020 with 15 million people in the streets facing down rubber bullets and batons and all this, standing up saying, "We, you know, Black Lives Matter." You know, so you've seen, or in different ways in different parts of the world, you see sometimes people's fear gets broken and millions stand up. That wasn't a revolutionary understanding on a revolutionary people, but it gives you a sense of how it could emerge. And then you need a revolutionary vanguard force that is big enough and with the correct understanding to lead those millions with a strategy that could actually carry out the struggle to disintegrate and defeat bit by bit the forces of the other side. Not all at once, but in a process that has actually gone into quite deeply in a pamphlet, Revolution, A Real Chance to Win, five-part series from BA. So right now, the critical thing that we're trying to wake people up to and organize them into is that we are in a period where that first condition is already ripening. The rulers are split and they are only going to get more divided and more at each other's throats. We're not hoping for a civil war. We're just saying that's actually the shape things could develop that way. And you are absolutely right. The forces of the state and the forces of fascism are way more armed to the teeth overwhelmingly than the decent side of society. So this is a big contradiction. But one of the things that we are doing now is to actually, and the key thing now is to wake millions up, change their thinking so that they see this system as the source of the problem and they see a different future that's possible. And so we're fighting to win millions to revolution, and you can't launch or begin an actual revolution before you have all three of those conditions. It would be wrong. It's not what we're doing. But we're working to win the millions. And then what I tried to describe in the talk a little bit, and Bob Avakian goes into more in the social media posts that he has, is how when you have those millions and when the all-out fight for the direction of society breaks out, then what is the strategy that those revolutionary forces would have to engage in that would enable them to win their demand for a different society and defeat all the repression that comes at them?
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Say them loud, say them clear.